Everybody should be able to look at people from this side. Every young man. Some of you, when you said you was awake, you were sleep talking. Praise God. I'm glad you're here anyway, because I'm going to wake you up. Amen. How many ever had God wake you up? So it's good to be in the house of God and with the people of God and God, right? In the house of God with people and God. We need God here most of all. So a few announcements. First of all, we've got prayer this week, Tuesday night, 6:30. We moved that from last week. Wednesday night service. And then looking forward, we've got the 14th, we're going to do our play. So invite people, bring family, bring friends. It's going to be a blessing, and there's going to be a strong gospel. You bring somebody, they'll probably get saved, give their heart to the Lord. Also, don't forget that, some people ask me sometimes, will we do one of those trees where we give to people and stuff. The thing that we do and have done for a number of years in this church is we support some orphan boys from the Congo. These guys, all of their parents died of AIDS a number of years ago. Pastor Ben basically started the orphanage out of that. There were six of them. Four of them have graduated, but the other ones are still now heading into their lives. And so we're going to take an offering. So on the last Sunday to give for that, we'll send that off. After that will be the 14th, which is about 2 weeks out from today. So if you want to give something for those orphan boys, just mark it. We're going to tie them a little for something, or a check for orphan boys or orphans, and we're gonna bless them like we have been and continue to do that. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And then the second scripture I want to give you that we're going to use right off the bat this morning is Hosea chapter 5, verse 6. And the third one, I'm going to load you up right here at the beginning. The third one is Psalms 32, verse 6. I want to look today at how you can miss God. We're going to go through the backside of this today. I don't think you want to miss God. I hope you don't. But how many realize that in eternity, there will be people that miss God? They miss their window of opportunity. So, first of all, let me just say that if you're not saved today, to all those that are non-Christians, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever." The Lord said that, right? That's not me. That's not this church. The Lord said there comes a place where he gets striving with people that reject him. And it says in Hosea chapter 5, verse 6, "With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them." Those are interesting scriptures. And the third one applies, I believe, especially to Christians and to the opportunities that come in our lives from the Lord. It says in Psalms 32, verse 6, "For this cause, everyone who is godly," so that's to say, "everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found." Let's pray today. Father, we come. We need your word. We need a word in season. Lord, I pray for open spirits, open hearts, and Holy Spirit, that you would have your perfect will and way in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the truth is today, we don't like to talk about this, but windows could close. Opportunities can end. People that are not saved and that reject the Lord and they pass up opportunity. You know, every time you hear God deal with you and God speak to you and you don't respond, it's not without effect. It hardens you a little bit more. So you're better off not to hear than to hear and say no. Because every time you say no, your heart gets a little bit. It's like that dial moves a little bit. You said no another time to the Lord. One of the things to me that was, I've shared this story numerous times over the years, but when I was just first saved and I would witness to people constantly. I worked at Sonic Drive-In after school every day, and I witnessed to all of them. And There was one girl in particular, her name was Kathy, and I would talk to her, and I would share the gospel with her. She was never one that just said, no, I don't believe in that, or I don't want... She just kind of had this attitude, well, eventually I'm going to get it together. That's a lie the devil tells all of us, right? Sometimes you're never going to get it together. Just come exactly like you are. Throw it all at Jesus' feet. And that girl, so I would witness to her, and I really believed she was going to get saved. And to this day, I mean, I don't know eternity. I don't know. It didn't look good, but that I remember one night she came out of a bar on Main Street. We were passing out tracts and witnessing to people. And I told her, I said, you need to get saved, Kathy. You need to give your heart to the Lord. And she laughed, and she was just a little bit drunk already, and she laughed, and she said, I'm going to do it. She wasn't rude or hateful, but she just said no one more time. And that night, the next morning, I got a call. She died in a crash, coming back from the war. Car flipped over upside down, moved in and out. And she was gone, and I felt so shocked, because I thought she's going to get saved. She's got a good heart. But it was over. I want you to know, if you're not saved today, don't play with that. If God deals with your heart, it's the greatest gift. The scariest place is when God no longer deals with your heart, because he says here that he will not always strive with the hearts of men. And as Christians, it's so important that we realize that as God deals in our lives, there's a time that in the dealings of God when he may be found. Again, that scripture says, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Now, if there's a time when he may be found, there's also a time when he can't be found. There's a distinction there. So, I want to talk to you today about how not to miss God. Whether you're saved or not saved, how many just don't want to miss God? To me, it's a terrible thing. It's something that unsettles me in my spirit. The thought of missing God's window in my life, an opportunity, and certainly if you're not saved. So great opportunities come. We're going to read about some people that had great opportunities in the Bible. And it says in John chapter 15, if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty. But now that they have seen the miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. So the Lord dealt with Israel, and but out of all the people that got saved, how do you know the majority was not Pharisees or Sadducees or the religious leaders of the day? And it quickly moved into the Gentiles. But I want you to see how many have heard the word visitation? If any time on this world there was a visitation, it was when Jesus came. It was a visitation. It was the Son of God coming down in a man form. And it was a visitation. And it says in Luke 19, now as he drew near, he saw the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, this was their day for their peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Now watch these last words. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. I am telling you that people, that nations, that individuals, that families have times of visitation. When things, it's like when the clouds roll away and all of a sudden you see what you didn't see. Say, well, I just thought. No, you didn't. God showed it to you. It's there's something miraculous there. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1 says, and when as workers together with him also, and we as workers together also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How many can see that this is a window? He says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? That means that God offers you something. He offers to move in you. He offers to bring healing. He offers to bring hope. He offers to bring salvation. And somehow, you miss it. You don't see it. Or you see it, but you don't want to enter into it. You don't follow through with that. You can receive the grace of God. In fact, most of the world is receiving the grace of God in vain. It's there. It's for them. But they're not receiving it. So let me give you four things that will cause you to miss. If you want to miss God's time, you want to miss God. The first one is this. Let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. When I say miss God, maybe you're saved, but can I tell you there are seasons for healings. There are seasons for physical healings. When God is doing something, and you step in, I'm going to share some modern day and Bible times when you see how many, I'm talking about missed opportunities to be physically healed. I'm talking about missed opportunities to see God pour out mighty revival upon people and groups. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Let's go there. Let's see. 25. 34. I'm going to start with verse 24. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. And a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything that she had to pay them, but had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, notice that line, so she came up behind him through the crowd and she touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? And his disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him, and she told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. This is one of the great miracles in the Bible, I believe. She had struggled for all of these years. But what I want you to see is the first thing that happened there, it says in verse 27, and when she heard it, I'm going to tell you, you can miss all that God has if you don't hear. And I'm talking more than a physical hearing. I'm talking about, she heard, lots of people heard that Jesus was coming, but not a lot of people got healed that day. She heard it. And I'm telling you, even now, there are people in here, and some of you are hearing, and some of you are not hearing. Because this is something that goes in. She heard that Jesus was coming. And she heard that, and it penetrated her. And when she heard that, it didn't matter anything else. She heard. She did not close her ears. But she allowed God to get a hold of her. See, she had a choice of whether to hear or not hear, to close her ears. See, we can hear, but we can close our ears at the same time. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. So you can't believe God for a miracle until you hear it. Till something gets in you. And you say, you know what? I can be healed. I'm hearing that. I can be saved. Now is God's time for me. Hearing is very powerful. Faith comes by hearing. The Bible says we need ears that will hear. See, what about Christians hearing? It says in Luke chapter 5, let me show you how important this is. Luke chapter 5, the disciples have fished all night long. And Jesus comes in the morning. And he says to them, he says, I want you to cast your net on the other side. And right there, I'm telling you, we either hear what Jesus says or we argue. Well, yeah, I've done that. Been there. Done. No, no, you're not hearing. He said, I said, cast your net. And finally, I think Peter and Jake, they're probably looking, we just better do it. See, it went beyond. See, a lot of times when we hear something, we just come up with an argument. We're not hearing it. See, faith doesn't argue with God. Faith just says, okay, God. And it says in verse 5, but Simon answered and he said to his master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word, how did they get that word? They heard something. Something leaped in their heart. Something in their mind said, well, Jesus said it, and I hear what he said. He said, at your word, I will let the net down. We know the rest of the story. It was jam-packed with fish. What if they hadn't heard it? You know, hearing is very important. God says, I want to touch your life. Maybe he wants to do something new. Some of you today, maybe you've been in the same stagnant spot for a period of time. Can I tell you that's not God's will? He wants to move you forward. He's got plans. But what is he speaking? He might give you a word and say, you know what? I want you to spend more time with me in prayer, waiting on me. But if we don't hear it, we don't respond. I'm calling on you to meet with me. The question is, will you hear him today? What is God saying to you today? I guarantee you, he wants your relationship to grow. He wants you to move forward in his plan, but you've got to hear what the Spirit says to you. And you know what? I was pondering that. And I think one of the biggest traps of telephones and social media is we hear so much we don't hear anything. We hear noise. You know, yesterday I was out with the kids. We were riding up in the mountains. And I don't hear that well to start with. And I had this crazy Russian-looking hat with those big ear flaps that come down. And Kyle's hollering, saying this and saying that. And I'm just looking at him, smiling, shaking my head. Finally, I did pull the flaps up so I could hear a little bit better. But you know what the problem was? There's other noise. There's this. There's that. There's distance. Church, let me just tell you, if you want God to move, you've got to start hearing what he says. I'll give you a little challenge. Take some time. Somebody a while back told me they were just in a place and they basically felt they were stagnant spiritually. And so this person said, you know, I came down to the church and I got alone and I just sat in a chair and I just listened. I said, God, talk to me. Speak to me. You know what? You think God's going to say, no, I don't want to talk to you. No. He says, wow, no competition with Facebook? I'm going to take it. No this, no TikTok, no, you know, can I tell you something? I'm not saying that every single thing on social media is evil, but it's evil in the fact that it creates so much white noise that we can't hear what he's saying to us. We don't hear. He'll talk to you about your family. He'll talk to you about how to get a breakthrough in an area of your life. He'll talk to you if you put other things aside and you listen to God. I'm going to share, as I go through this, I'm going to share Britland's miracle. I've seen some really great miracles in life, in my own family, but Britland's our family too. She's our church family. And she's upstairs this morning, but I was visiting with her before the service. And she got a tremendous miracle. And I'm just going to give it to you piece by piece. So we were in conference. And during that week, and they said, sometime during the week, they said, you know, Pastor Jones is going to pray for people on Friday night for healing. And it was just like one of the announcements. And you could probably talk to most people that went out, and they wouldn't necessarily remember that. But Brittany heard it. She heard it. Pastor Jones is going to pray for people. The first thing that happened in her, she heard it. And she called me that Friday afternoon. And she said, Pastor, she said, they're going to pray for the sick tonight, and I'm going to go get healed. I'm going to get my healing, I think is the way she put it. She don't remember that phone call. But I remember thinking, that's a little bit strange. She just called me out of the blue and told me she's going to go get her healing. Well, I'm certainly not going to disagree with that. But she heard. See, I don't know how many people remember that conference that week, but she heard. The sick are going to be prayed for, and God's going to heal people. So that's the first thing. Here, so if you don't want to miss God, open your ears. Second thing is this one. If you're going to miss God, one of the ways you'll do it is you'll listen to everybody around you. Let's go to the story of Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. Again, right close, Mark 10, 46. Two chapters open, one and one. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard, again, see that? When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. It says, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and he came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. What a great miracle again. If, you know what? How many agree sight's really important? I've thought about that story. He threw off that robe, you know. I don't know if he was tripping on his way to Jesus. I mean, we couldn't see. But he got there. And he threw off that robe. But here's the thing, church. The devil will always have somebody that'll say, be quiet. Don't shout. Don't believe God. It's crazy. You're crazy. When God tells you to do something, many times it seems crazy. Who would believe that because a man was murdered 2,000 years ago that the whole world could be changed? That just sounds crazy, but it's true. And so here we go with many times there's somebody in our lives that will stop us from the miracle God has for us. But we have a choice to listen or to not listen, right? So if you want to miss God, listen to garbage opinions. Listen to people that say, well, that's not real. I've heard it all. That's not real. The time for miracles is past. Well, I beg to differ with that. I've got many proofs in my life that the time of miracles has not passed. But there are people today that are hung up. They can't get healed because they believe that. Amen. So you have to reject wrong opinions. God could never love you. God could never forgive you. You've gone too far. That's a lie. See, there are so many opinions in life. One of the worst things you can do when God begins to deal with you is to run it by everybody. He says, they warned him, be quiet. But he cried all the more. How do you know? Bartimaeus was done with people's opinions. He was done with resistance. He didn't care. Church, let me just tell you, as God deals with your life, you're going to have to reject some of the opinions from your families, from people in your family, from doctrinal things that have been in your family. And you know what? They may not do it out of any kind of meanness, but they're wrong. It goes against the Word of God. You've got to reject it because that's one of those voices that will stop you. People criticize. You know, when I made the decision to obey God and to preach the gospel, oh, I heard criticism. People said, you're dumb to leave. One of my bosses says, you're dumb to leave this job and to go off to Arizona. You don't even have a job down there. Well, it doesn't matter. God, I had the will of God. Amen? And everything worked out just wonderful. But the thing is, people, sometimes it's your family. Sometimes it's somebody you might love. And you can miss, you know, generations. I remember one guy that I had great respect for years ago. When I got saved, it was in the 70s, and there was so much craziness in the 60s and 70s, and crazy things going on, this person, who I did respect, but he said, well, that's nothing but a hippie church. And it was a hippie church. As hippie as you could get. Hippie hair, hippie music, hippie bell-bottom jeans. But you know what? I couldn't listen to him. Even though I respected him, I couldn't listen to him because the generation, the churches and the group that did not understand, they did not listen to what God was doing. During the Jesus people, they missed God. How could God do that? How could this person be saved? They look funny. Their hair is clear down their back. They smell. They don't wear deodorant. They do a lot of other things we can't even talk about in church. But I'm telling you, God was moving. And you can't listen. You know, we have this idea that the majority is right. Not so. What was the crowd shouting? Crucify him! Crucify him! Were they right? Were they right? Was Jesus guilty? Did he deserve to go to that cross? No. The majority was wrong. And I'm telling you, the majority is mostly wrong in America today. The majority is, we're so many times swayed. Well, they all said it. They must be right. Well, they all said, you know what, we saw all with the COVID thing. Well, they all said you have to do this, you have to take this shot, you have to wear this mask, you have to do this. You know, for years they've been putting certain shots, and it's amazing. And as we just begin to question a few things since Trump's been in there, they're actually questioning some things now. You know, there's got to be a reason so many people deal with autism today. And they're actually questioning some of that. I don't have all the answers. I'm not smart enough for that stuff. But I'm telling you that when you listen, just because a doctor says it's impossible, you're going to die in a month, you're going to die in 6 months, you're going to die in 5 years. No, don't listen to the opinions that go against God's word. You can miss revival. You can miss what God is doing. It might be your parents. It might be a spouse. But in every great revival, there has always been criticism. There are voices that you're going to have to quit listening to. Public consensus will lead you to hell many times. Israel missed God. Israel missed God in the desert because they all listened to each other. He just brought us out here to die. Was that true? No, they just listened. Two guys didn't. Joshua and Caleb. Be like Joshua and Caleb. They said, what is wrong with you guys? First of all, he didn't ask their opinion. He just said, kind of get a map of the land. If you don't think voices are powerful, look at the Old Testament. An entire generation dropped in the desert. They missed everything. Let me read you a little poem like crazy. It says, they told me that life could be just what I needed. Life could be fashioned and worn like a gown. I, the designer, mine the decision whether to wear it with bonnet or crown. And so I selected the prettiest pattern. Life should be made of the rosiest hue, something unique and a bit out of fashion, one that perhaps would be chosen by few. But other folks came, and they leaned over my shoulder. Somebody questioned the ultimate cost. Somebody tangled the thread I was using, and one day I found that my scissors were lost. And somebody claimed the material faded, and somebody said I'd be tired before it was worn. Somebody's fingers, too pointed and spiteful, snatched at the cloth, and I saw that it was torn. Oh, somebody tried to do all of the sewing, wanting always to advise or condone. Here is my life, the product of many. Where is the gown God could fashion alone? Don't listen to all those voices today. If you do, you'll miss God. And I realize sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're going to have to go against some things you've been taught, some things that have been said. Sometimes you're going to have to go, you know, people say, well, you know, God will heal you if it's His will. Don't listen to that. It is His will. It's absolutely His will. And when you listen, well, no, that's not what the Bible says. Someplace you've got to go with what God says, right? The third thing is this. If you want to miss God, then trust yourself. Say, well, Pastor, you're kind of yanking out all the pillars. Can't listen to people. Can't trust myself. Here's a scripture. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, think about the woman with the bleeding. She could have talked herself out. Her own understanding is, I've tried everything. Is this carpenter guy smarter than the best doctors in the land? Yes, he is. But see, she could have talked to herself. She could have said, I'm too tired. I've got it too hard. I don't feel up to it today. Even after she heard, you know, even after you hear and God inspires you, the devil don't shut up. And she could have talked. You know, we talk ourselves out of a miracle. She could have said, no, I think I've done enough here. I talked to a guy once, and we had a guy named Don Nicholson here preaching. The guy had a healing ministry, and he would pray for people. They would get healed, and this guy was serious. He was in a wheelchair, and can't even remember what he had, but it was serious and fatal, and ultimately killed him. And I said to him, his name was Ron. I said, Ron, why don't you come? You'll get healed tonight. He said, no. He said, if God wants to heal me, he can just do it right here. Well, you want to be sick? The Bible says lay hands on the sick. Amen. There's a chance I can get healed and get out of that wheelchair. I'm taking it. How about you? So we can talk ourselves. We can reason ourselves. See, I was thinking about Mary. Wow. God used Mary in a wonderful way. There's really nothing you can say against Mary, is there? But let me just tell you, if God came to you, ladies, and he said, you're just going to get pregnant out of the blue, there can be no man in your life. And I'm in this. I'm involved in this. It's not. I am telling you, everything in you would want to reason out of that one. That's impossible. You know, this, I don't know, but listen, Mary, she didn't let the enemy. She said, God, I'm on board with what you're going to do. See, you know, your own head will reason you out of things. Don't lean on your own understanding. God's ways are above your ways. Don't let the devil reason you out of a miracle. Go back to Britland's miracle. So she had been on heavy antidepressant drugs, all kinds of that kind of stuff. And she had endometriosis, a lot of constant pain. And this had gone on for years, just struggling. Anxiety attacks, darkness that she was dealing with. But she heard that day. And she didn't get anybody else's opinion. Well, what do you think? I'm going to go get prayed. Somebody would have talked her out of it. And the second thing, she didn't reason herself out. She just said, she's not going. I'm going to go. That woman with the issue, she did not reason it out. Because you know what? If you can reason it out, it's not a miracle. If you can reason yourself away from it, if you can make reason of everything God does, you know how I know you got saved? That's unreasonable. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. Amen. So am I, right? But we got saved. God helped us. And so many times we reason ourselves. The devil's right there. The natural mind works with the devil a lot of times. The natural mind works with it. Well, that doesn't make sense. How can tithing make sense? Well, he'll rip you off. He'll reason you right out of a miracle. The Bible says, Proverbs 3:5 again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't listen to just all your own reasons. It's not in you. It's in believing in him. The Pharisees could not understand. How could this be? How could that be? Well, this little thing doesn't line up with my thinking. Well, maybe your thinking is wrong. This is surely not wrong. Amen? So if you don't reason yourself, the disciples, that doesn't make any sense. We've been here all night long. No, don't reason yourself out of a full net. Don't reason. Cast that net. Just quit reasoning. Quit trying. You know what? To me, it's a relief to quit trying to sort it out. It hurts my brain. And you know what? I so many times I just basically threw my hand and said, God, I'm just going to believe you. I don't understand this. I don't know how you're going to put up with me, but you said you're going to, so I'm going to just take your word. I'm glad God just put up with you, and he forgave you the 5 millionth time. I know you're better shape than I am, but I probably do have the 5 millionth or the 10 millionth time. So don't trust in your own understanding. Here's the last one. You can do all the other things right. You can hear. You can avoid the lies of the crowd. You cannot reason within yourself. But then when it comes right down to it, you just sit there and don't do anything. You just, when God passes by, see, the woman came to with the issue of blood. And when Jesus passed by, she hustled. You know, sometimes if you want God to help you, you better hustle and get a hold of God. You better, it said she pressed. She had to fight. She used some New York elbows that day when she walked through that crowd. Bartimaeus didn't care. In fact, when they got him, he got louder. See, so many people, they just sit there. That when Jesus passes by, they sit there, but they don't cry out. Say, well, what am I supposed to do? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You know what? I love it when people get saved and they don't even want to wait for the altar call. They're out of their seat. They're like, you know what? I want this. That's Bartimaeus. He said, I am tired of being saved. That woman with the issue of blood, she pushed through that crowd. You can get to do everything, but at the end of real faith, there's always an action. What are you going to do? See, God may be dealing with you. You know what? I'm going to begin to use you in prayer. I'm going to begin to do something. I'm going to show you things in the Word. Okay? So if you do nothing to plan for that, if you don't plan to pray, you will not pray, right? You might start with setting your alarm a little bit earlier in the morning if you want God to move. And say, you know what? I got a plan here. God's going to help me. What happens when we do nothing? Nothing. One man said the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of an opportunity. Jesus is passing by. If you do nothing, you miss everything. If you do nothing. I understand. It's not just what I do, but my doing represents some faith, church. My doing says, God, I believe you. And so we're not distracted from what we need to do. You know, the end of Britland's story is that she heard that week, and she didn't talk it over. She just told me. She didn't ask my opinion about nothing. She said, I'm going to get my miracle. But then when it all came down to it that night, in that church service, I was sitting in a different place, and I remember looking over, and I told Robin, I said, let's see what Britland's going to do. And I looked over there, and there she was. She went down. I talked to her this morning. I said, Britland, I said, are you still? She said, totally. I said, are you on any type of anti? No, nothing. She was on those things up and tried this one, tried that one, add this one to that one, over seven years. And she quit like that. She didn't even go down to get healed of that. That was just a freebie that came along with the big prize. God healed her. Why? Because at the end of the day, she went down that night. She was like Bartimaeus. She cried. She said, I'm getting healed. And she went down and God healed her that night. Can I tell you that opportunities have to be laid a hold of? Church, I'm telling you, there are people that God will use you to talk to if you'll open your mouth. I've seen several things in the past week that were amazing to me. You know, God, I've been praying for certain people to be open. And in one situation this past week, it was amazing how God used a situation. And this person just became so open. But you have to, you know, a lot of times we want everything planned, don't we? Well, I'm planning to talk to somebody. You know, years ago, when we first moved to Cortez, I had goats at that time. So I had a baby goat that I had purchased, and they were going to ship it to Albuquerque Airport. So I'd been in Phoenix for 7 years almost, and I wasn't thinking about Colorado, and it was in the spring, so I didn't even take the proper clothes. I was still, you know, thinking Phoenix. I didn't even have a coat. So I got in the truck, and off we went. Ashley was with me, and so we headed off down towards Albuquerque to get that baby goat. And so it started to snow. It started to snow harder. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm in Colorado yet. At that point, it was Mexico. But anyhow, I'm going. And then, on top of that, my truck starts overheating. So I'm out there between Gallup and Grant, which is the only thing there is lava rock. And so I'm just going along, and I'm just praying over that truck. Oh, God, keep this little Toyota truck going. I'm praying over it. and it goes slower and slower. I just held the pedal till literally it just stopped. I had faith, but it just stopped. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this is great. You know, I'm the dad, but Ashley's looking at me like, you got this sorted out, don't you? No, I don't even have a coat for us, Ashley. We're going to freeze to death in the snowstorm. And so, and on top of that, I'm thinking, now that little goat's sitting in the airport, wondering who's going to pick him up. And so, I don't even think we had a cell phone at the time. I'm pretty sure we didn't, 96. But anyhow, I looked, I said, okay, Ashley, I'm going to lock you in the truck. And I'm going over, I see a house along the freeway over here. I'm going to go over there and get some help. So I hiked over there, and I met this old man named Banjo. He was an old Mexican guy, and he was just as sweet as could be. And so I told him. He was nervous about me, though, you know, people coming off the highway. And I was nervous about him, and I just told him, I said, this is what's going on. He says, grab your daughter and come on in. So I went and got Ashley, and he helped me hook on that truck, and we drug it over to his house. And so that night, we just talked. And I realized God's doing something. I wanted just to go get my business done, get to that airport and get home. But God was doing something. You know, Banjo just, so that night, I shared from A to Z about Jesus and what could happen. And he didn't get saved that night or nothing. His wife came home, and we went and bought some chicken at some store close by. And then we slept at their house that night. Now, that's kind of weird, ain't it? Pull off, find somebody on the highway, and stay the night with them. So we stayed there that night. And then he said, I'm going to take it tomorrow, and we'll go rent a car and work it out. So that next morning, I got up. And at about 5 in the morning, an old Banjo was in there grinding his coffee. And as soon as I came in the kitchen, he said, I want it. I want it. I said, what do you mean? He says, I want what you talked about last night. I want Jesus. I was so shocked because I was all about my time and my this and my that. But God was doing something. It was an opportunity that only God knew about. Banjo got saved that morning. I prayed the simple sinner's prayer with him. He gave his heart to the Lord. And I went back and picked my old truck up. And I brought him a Bible. And you know, within a few months, he was dead and gone into eternity. God knew. If we'll listen, God will give us opportunities. Church, every person can have Banjo experiences this week. You're listening. And you just, you know, at some point I realize this ain't about me or my plans. You get that, Blake? It ain't about me. So what? The baby goat lived. Somebody went and picked it up out of there. Who cares about that? A man's insurance. I don't have a doubt. And when I get to heaven, Banjo will be there. Banjo will be there. Because God knew that his time was short. Let's bow our heads today. You know, many times we complicate the things of God. You say, what can I do today? Well, it's very simple. What you can do today to know God and to not miss God is just to believe. Somebody said, there was an old story, that a man had a dream, and he stood at the gate of heaven, and he confronted Peter. What does it take to get into heaven? 1,000 points, Peter said. Okay, the man said. I have been faithful in church attendance all my life. That's 1 point, said Peter. The man could not believe it. I was a deacon in my church for more than 20 years. That's another point. Getting very anxious, the man said. I did many things to help people. That's another point. In great despair, the man said, if all I can get is 3 points for a long life in the church and doing good works, I guess I'm just going to have to throw myself on the mercy of God and the love of Christ displayed on the cross and believe that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. And Peter smiled. He said, that's 1,000 points. Church, you just got to believe that what Jesus did is the only thing you need to do today. I don't know where anybody's at today. I can't see into people's hearts. But I do know that if you'll put your faith, if you'll believe, and you'll say, God, I'm going to believe you. Maybe you've been backslidden. Maybe you've messed up. I don't care. There's many people that have come to God They just said, I'm going to believe. The thief on the cross in the last few minutes, he believed. I mean, today, you don't know the Lord, first of all. But you say, I just want to believe. Simple belief. How do you get saved? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe, the word believe in him. Lift your hand if God's talking to you and you want to get saved today. Amen. Let's stand today. A visitation, church. What's God trying to speak to you? I assure you, he wants to speak to every person in here. He wants to speak new things in your life. If you're stagnant, if you've grown cold, if you have been beat up by the enemy, I'm telling you, he'll speak to you today. If you'll open your heart and you'll hear his voice, he's going to help you. These altars are open today. You come and pray and listen to what God will do in your life today. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Praise God. I'm going to do something up here today. You know, on Wednesday, there's a timing that God has. And going back to where the, I can talk about a machine here. But Wednesday night, we have a really good testimony service. I really appreciate all those who shared. Marcus was talking about how he got saved. And he was ready to commit suicide. And he was just totally hopeless. And God told him, somebody's going to invite you to church. He went to work the next day. And she invited him to church. You know what? He believed, but what if she had just not followed through? God had to tell Brenda, invite Marcus to church. She might have been invited him 10 times. I don't know. He came, he got saved, and he is a different boy today. Because of that. So God wants to do, there's people here today. God's going to do some new things. I want to pray. Nathan and Shayla, can I pray for you guys today? I want to pray that God's going to give them a baby. We believe that can be. So I want them to come forward. The Bible says that God, He makes us fruitful. They want a baby, right? And we're going to pray. And you know what? As we pray, it's going to be done. God's going to help them. And you can all come to the baby shower. Amen. Praise God. But I wanted, you know, since I first knew you guys in the story, I wanted to pray. But I really felt early this morning to pray for you guys. So I want you to come stand right here if you would. And I want every lady in this place that knows what it's like to deal with stuff, you want to come pray. Lay your hands. We don't do it. God does it. I'm not the healer. Pastor Jones is not the healer. You're not. But come pray. I want a bunch of ladies to gather around Sheila today. We're going to believe God that He's going to give this family. And you men, come pray with Tim too. We're going to pray for this family. God's going to move for them. You have faith today? It's easy for God. It's not hard for God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Lord, we just lift them up. Right now, in Jesus' name, God, I pray that you can just come to your head. I pray, God, that you would move supernaturally. I pray that you would help them, God, and let it be the most joyful time of their lives, God. Lord, you are the miracle worker, God. I thank you, God, for the miracle of children, God, and the blessing that they are. And I pray right now that we're going to see a mighty miracle. We will be sure to give you the glory, God. It's done, it's finished in Jesus' name. Because your word proclaims it, God, we can hear this right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. You know, I was talking to Leander this morning. They got a little baby. Couldn't have a baby for how long? And that baby, rocking and rolling. I know that with Robin and I, we went through a time when we miscarried a baby. So afraid that we weren't going to have one. And God gave us the baby. There was a prophecy. Pastor Jones, prophet. I think it was Pastor Jones. I don't remember for sure. And this is what she's pregnant with. He said, you're going to have a baby. He said, I see him running. Basically, he's wild. Well, it was true. Amen. And God did it. So God's going to do it. This couple. We all see it's a miracle today. You need a miracle? Amen. Okay, that's great. If you're sick today, come down. He doesn't limit us to 2 miracles or 5 miracles or 10 miracles. You're sick today. You come down, and God will heal you. Amen. Let's pray, Father. Right now, in Jesus' name, we cast off that in the name of Jesus. I pronounce him whole. The
blood of Jesus Christ and the stripes that He took on Calvary, that You took, Jesus, You took to this little baby right now. I pray, heal him, lock, stock, and barrel from top to bottom. No more sickness, no more spots, no more anything but health and wholeness, Lord. We thank You for healing him right now. We're going to do Your word about this. We stand on Your word. It's true. And we'll all return for it.
He's ready. He says, I heard. I believe. I'm not going to listen to anybody doubting. Amen. Anybody else need healed today? I thank God He's a healer. I'm glad He's a healer. You know, sometimes with me, do you ever forget just to pray about something? You get a bad cold and you think, oh, I'm going to have to deal with this for the next 3 weeks. Who said? Amen. You ever forget to pray? He'll heal the big things. He'll heal the little things. Amen. I'm going to pray for one more person. They're not here today. And we've been praying for her. But let's pray for Jennifer Breitbach. These guys were our next door neighbors for quite a few years. And this diagnosis of bone cancer was a shock to them. But I'm telling you, God's doing something here. I don't know. Only God knows what He's doing in that family. It's bigger than just this. But let me believe that we can see a complete healing there. They told her, well, you probably got about 5 years to live. If we do this, we do. No, we're not accepting that. I mean, sometimes, again, we're saying, no, I'm not going to listen to that stuff. Let's pray right now for Jennifer. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for Jennifer. We raise her up. We bind cancer. We speak against every evil, cursed thing that would try to come against her. The blood of Jesus heals her, God. I pray, oh God, that You will move mightily in her, that she will feel it, that she will know it, God, and Lord, that You will do a tremendous work in her life, in her heart, in her physical body. Thank You, Lord, for touching her right now. We believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I went over and I talked to her this week, and I told her, I said, Jennifer, I said, God is going to heal you. He's already done that, but I said, He's going to do something special in your heart. And she said, it's already, I already feel that. I already know that God is doing that. So, what Satan meant for evil won't turn out that way. Amen. He meant just to bring me down in that little truck in a snowstorm. God saved a man for all eternity out of that little deal. Amen. Father, thank You today for Your goodness. Lord, help us, Lord, to understand Your visitation in our lives, in our families, our kids, in our church, in our city, and especially, Lord, in our nation. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. very wise. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.